All right, we're in page Nun Hey. We're learning this Hasidic discourse by the fifth Rebbe, a long one. We're basically towards starting the end, but it's going to take us a few more classes, of course. But page 55, Nun Hey, towards the end of the page, the line starts, Ubi Ura Inyan Hu. The explanation of this whole thing is, but like two, four, six, seventh line from the bottom of the page, the Rebbe is explaining why, basically going back to the beginning of the Maimer, of the discourse, why does the Torah connect Yedia, knowledge that God is the Lord, with these two names that we spoke so much about, infinity, etc., with the coming out of Egypt and going into Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. Why is these two things connected? Why are these two things connected? And the Rebbe mentioned that the Jewish people that were actually the ones that left Egypt and went through the desert, etc., they were a Gilgul. They were a reincarnation of the people of the Tower of Babel, or Babylon Tower, whatever, at the end of Parshas Noach. And the Rebbe brought from different sources in Kabbalah that their sin, actually, the people of the Tower of Babel, they're called in the Hebrew text, Dor Aflaga, the generation of separation. That's what they're called, because God separated them with the different languages, and they spread out throughout all the whole earth, etc. So that's why they're called the separation generation. Their sin was actually to separate God from the earth, from the world, so to speak. In other words, it would be like saying, God, you take care of the heavens, we take care of this world. Don't bother me. Down here, I do whatever I want. So they separated God. That's what they wanted to do. That's what they actually expressed, so to speak. They wanted to separate God from this world. That was their sin, this separation. What's the tikkun? What's the how to repair this? The way of repairing this is the other way around, knowing that God is the Lord. Even in the physical world, there's the infinity of God down here, so to speak. This is basically what the Rebbe is going to start explaining right now. So let's go to the text. The explanation of this whole thing is we explained before that from this name Havaye, Yudke Vavke, four letters, it wouldn't be possible to have the world as we know it right now, a physical world. Because if it would shine in this earth a revelation of the light of this particular name of four letters, etc., the world would not be able to receive this light, such as powerful energy. What does that mean in other words? That I mentioned this before also. There wouldn't be an existence with limitations. There wouldn't be any limitations. We wouldn't be able to define something. When you define something, you say it starts here, in it ends up here, and it has these attributes, these qualities. We wouldn't be able to define anything because everything would be infinite, infinite, infinite. When you just have infinite, you can't work. You need to somehow restrict this infinity in order to be able to work with it. Parenthesis. As we explained before, in the example of the teacher teaching the student, if the teacher would reveal his intellect as it is, the receiver would not be able to receive such a thing. It's too much information, too deep, etc. The senses of the receiver would completely get confused. It's impossible. That means his recipients would completely be nullified. In other words, what does that mean? When you have a child in the classroom and the child is not getting the information, is not understanding the teacher, what does it do? Bother. That's what it does. It bothers. What does that mean in the words of the Maimer of the Rebbe? His vessels, so to speak, got broken. So in other words, let's go back to the classroom.
He's not behaving like a regular student, like everybody else. He stands up and he throws things and he starts screaming, "Hey, hello, you know how to behave?" He says, "I can't. I don't understand anything of what's going on over here. I'm so bored, I have to do something." So he got, quote-unquote, broken. His being as a student is completely broken. I'm not a student. I'm not getting what you're saying. I'm not a student. I'm not learning here. I should do something else. He got, quote-unquote, again,
broken as a student. That's what the Rebbe mentioned here in parentheses, inside the parentheses. Bitul ha-kelim shelo. His kelim, his qualities as a student, completely lost. That's it. Okay, my ken, hu bedugma lemailo. The same thing applies above, spiritually speaking. If it would shine, the essential light of this particular name of God with four letters, etc., infinity, the world would not be an existence as we know it now, a physical world. As it's written in the Etz Chaim, a book of the teachings of the Arizal, the Mitchila Kejohaya, Oir Elion Pashut Memalis Metzius, Loyohaya Makim Lamitis Oilamis. At the beginning of, that means a little bit before the creation, whatever that means, the godly light, very simple godly light, was filling all the existence. And there was no room, so to speak, for the worlds. Veyadua Pirush Veloyohaya Makim. And it's known what it means when the Arizal writes there was no place, no room. As soon as we say the word room, it comes up with like a physical place, how which measurements, etc. No, says the Rebbe. Don't make the mistake. Don't get confused. Shelohaya Evshalias Mitzius Oilamos Miagilu Yorelion Pashut Gimeshu. There was no possibility for the existence of the worlds to be because of the revelation of this high, simple light as it is. Example for this, very simple. If there's a genius of some subject teaching, all the other teachers just shut up. Don't say anything. In front of this guy, you don't teach. You just shut up. Let him teach. The same thing happens with God. If he would be revealed in the worlds, so to speak, as he really is, there wouldn't be any space for the world to exist. Space, quote unquote. It's just God. Not me, it's God. The creation can only be possible through this other name we explained so longly, etc., in so many classes, etc., that just through this name that restricts and hides this spiritual infinite light, then there could be a world. As it's written in the beginning, God, Elohim created this name of God. That means this infinite name through this, so to speak, finite name, whatever, Elohim. This second name of God, Elohim, it represents construction, contraction, and concealment. This second name of God contracts, conceals the light of this infinite name, Havaye, Yudke Vavke, etc., and it gives it like a garment to the light in many, many garments, and then the creation of the physical world is possible. This is what our sages say. There's no piece of grass down here that doesn't have a mazal, whatever that means. Mazal means really, literally an angel or something like that, that hits this piece of grass and says, grow. That means there's a spiritual strength giving life to this physical world. The whole Eisev Eisev, every single piece of grass, and also each creation, particularly speaking, each single creation, has a particular mazal, let's call it soul, let's call it angel, or whatever you want to call it, doesn't make any difference, which is its source and gives it life. Peshoyrish Hamazal Lesume Malachim Elyonim. And the source of this thing called Mazal, call it soul, call it angel, whatever, is high angels, supreme angels. This is a verse. And there's another group of angels, and another group of angels above and above and above. And the source of all these angels that actually create this world is the Shem Elokim. It's the name of God that conceals the infinite light, etc. That's why the angels are also called Elokim. And sometimes Bnei Elokim, the children of God. What does that mean? God had a relationship with a woman and then... No. Don't get confused. They're called Bnei Elokim or even Elokim because they come, spiritually speaking, from this particular name. That's where they come from. Ve'em memutzoim, and they are intermediaries. Shal yadam nimshach ha'or ve'achayus lechol ha'devarim ha'gashmim shebo'olam. Through these angels gets projected the light and the livelihood to all the physical things in the world. Okay, so going back just a little bit, the Rebbe is explaining what he already mentioned before. We have a connection, a very deep connection between these two names of God, Havaye and Elokim, and it is as if the connection between infinity, which is Havaye, and finite world, which is Elokim, and this name Elokim, the job it has, its work is to conceal infinity, to give quote-unquote room, possibility to exist, a physical and limited defined world. And the idea is like this. According to what we explained before, the creation, the existence of the physical world is through a contraction and concealment of light. Precisely, that's the system, so to speak. That means, that means that the light gets invested in garments and concealments, etc. And therefore, through the fact that the light comes through intermediaries of angels and mazalois, also, whatever the level, whatever that means, different steps, so to speak, gets reduced, this light, to the point that it generates, gives room to a physical existence. Parenthesis, lefi erech gashmius adavar, lefi erech zem ribuya memutzayim. According to the level, and I'll explain this in a second, according to the level of this physical thing, that's going to be the amount of intermediaries. That means the more coarse a thing is, the more intermediaries it has. The lower it reaches, so to speak. Omnam, however, etzem meisavus meshem havaye. The creation itself really is from the Shem Havaye, the other name of God. The Havaye hu amehaveh. This name of God is actually the creator, so to speak. It doesn't mean that, just in parentheses, just in case, it doesn't mean that there's a name of God that creates independently of God. No. Name, it's an expression of a person. My name is Tuvia, it's an expression of me. I'm also a father, I'm also a son, I'm also a husband, and so on. Those are names, quote unquote, that I have that define expressions of me. Of course, just as I'm a father, I'm unique in the world. All the fathers are unique in their worlds, whatever, in their fatherhood. Each one of us is unique. And why? Because, okay, I'm a father and some other guy is also a father, but I'm a father in my way. And he's a father in his way. And so on. We're unique. Baruch Hashem. Otherwise, it would be so boring. Everybody's the same. Everybody thinks the same. I don't need to talk to you. I already know what you think. It's boring. So everybody's different. Now, again, each name of God is not something independent of God. Chas v'shalom. God forbid. It expresses God in a specific way. Shem Havaye expresses God in a way of a creator. And just to save time, so to speak, we say Shem Havaye is the creator. No. God is the creator. He just expresses himself through this name, creating. But his power of creation goes through this other name of God, Elokim. that we spoke before. It's the teva, it's the nature, etc. In order for this light, infinite light of this other name, Avaye, it should create a physical existence. And the light of this infinite name should shine on this creature according to the way of this creature. To create this creature, to give life to this creature, and so on. Venimsa comes out. The main thing is the light of Avaye, the creator, and so on, infinity. And this light gets projected through this name called Elohim. And the Rebbe Rashab adds, and through the angels, and through this other thing called Mazalos, whatever that is, that all of them, they come from Shem Elohim, and all the intermediaries, etc., etc. To the point, so many steps and intermediaries to the point that gets created a physical thing from this godly light. Okay, then, if this is so, this is the main point he wants to bring out, actually, to explain the problem with the Doira Flaga, with the generation of Tower of Babel. It's understood that the intermediary by himself, by itself, it's nothing. It's really nothing. Because the flux of energy and the creation, etc., it doesn't come from him, from it. No. Rather, just through this intermediary comes out, so to speak, passes this godly light that creates every single creature. Pinken, if this is so, that the intermediary just brings from one step to another step, just brings from one point to another point, ein lachshev samemutza klal. You should not consider the intermediary at all. It has no importance at all. Ukemeshekosov, just as the verse says in Ishaya, ha'ispoira garzen al ha'choytsev. Is the axe going to be, so to speak, proud against the wood chopper? Like who's really managing over here things? The guy cutting the tree or the axe? The axe is never going to say, I'm the one that cuts the tree. No way. It's just a tool. The agam shechoytsev al yidei hagarzen, even though that this wood chopper is cutting through the axe, however, who's really cutting the wood? A person, not the axe. Because the axe by itself, if you leave it over there, it doesn't do anything. It's just that a person is actually doing something, acting through this axe. That's why no person would say, never, how beautiful is this building that the axe built. No, nobody's going to say this. And nobody's going to say, how praiseworthy is this axe that built such a beautiful building. Doesn't make sense. Rather, you praise the person that constructed this building, and the name of this person is on this house. This is a house that was built by blah, 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 Chaim Yankel, whatever. But nobody mentions the tools this guy used. Who cares? The building is beautiful, but the tools, I don't care. Yeah, I know. Why is that? Because through the axe, and it's just an example, through the tools, the construction came to be. But not that the axe is the one that builds. And this is the key point. Because the axe does not have a free will at all. In this construction, and doesn't say, but why not doing this or that? The axe just does whatever you make it do. And the axe doesn't have any strength, power to build. Rather, the person is the one that builds. The same thing you will understand in the heavenly intermediaries. They're just like an axe in the hands of the woodchopper. Through these intermediaries goes the energy, godly energy, but not that it comes from them, and they do not have free will whether to give energy or not to give energy. No. Rather, the one giving is God, godliness. He gives with his will, that means whenever he wills, whenever he wants, and this energy goes through these intermediaries, in order to create, as we explained before, a physical world, and it should be projected to them, energy and light and, sorry, and livelihood in a physical way according to their level. According to their level. Parenthesis is not in the Maimar, but it's so obvious. I mean, like, you can't jump this. A person praying to an angel is a fool. It's like a person praising an axe. It's exactly the same thing. And asking the axe, which is standing by the wall, please build for me a building. Please cut for me this wood. And the axe is not doing anything. Like, if somebody is going to take the axe and cut, so the axe is cutting. But that doesn't mean that the axe actually is a cutter. No. Impossible. That doesn't make any sense to pray to the angels. It's a stupid thing. Or to anything else. It doesn't matter. The angels, not the angels. As it's written somewhere else, this is the verse in Tehillim. Not in Tehillim, I'm sorry. It's a verse in somewhere else. God will bless you in everything you do. A person has to actually do something, and not just do something, rather involve yourself in physical work, just as you involve yourself in business, like you're really into it. Because you need to receive your livelihood from the light and the livelihood in a physical way. And if it would be possible, which is not, but if it would be possible to live just from spiritual light, like for instance, your food would be the pleasure of intellect. Suppose a person just gets his food from understanding. I understood a new page. Oh, now I'm not hungry anymore. Let's jump the parentheses just a second. It's in the next page, in the second line, towards the end of the second line. As if you could live from spiritual, let's call it dollars, spiritual dollars, okay? They're not going to pay anything because they're not green bills or anything. No, 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 no. It's a spiritual bracha, blessing. As lo yaya tzarech lasek ve'esek ve'asiya gashmes, then we wouldn't actually do anything physical. No. Why go to work? Why get actually paid at the end of the month? No need. I live on spiritual dollars. But on the other hand, because we definitely need, because this is the way God created the world, but we need physical things. We need physical food, we need physical drink, we need physical sleep and physical houses, and etc. Then the godly blessing, so to speak, the energy, has to go through some physical involvement. This energy, spiritual energy, has to get materialized through whatever work you're doing. Now, let's go back. What did the Rebbe say? The Rebbe says, look, we don't live on spiritual lights. Very nice. This whole book is very nice. We need physical things, physical food, physical drink, and so on. So The Rebbe is explaining, God is going to bless you in anything you do. So you're going to have to do something. Why should I do something? Can't I just live on God's blessing? The answer is no. The answer is you have to do something. Definitely blessing comes from God, and definitely your physical food also comes from God. There's no doubt about it. However, there has to be some step in the middle to transform the spiritual blessing into a physical thing. I need a piece of bread to eat. I can't live on spiritual bread. Now let's go to the parentheses that we jumped. Dugmas kabbalas chayus haneshomes began Eden. You want to know what it means to live in a spiritual world, in like get your food from a spiritual world? I give you an example. Like, for instance, the souls, the neshomis in Gan Eden, paradise, they actually also receive livelihood. Shemekablim chayusa me'asaga velokus. You know what's their food, quote unquote? Understanding God. That's what they eat, quote unquote. Kemaimer, as we say in the Gemara, in the Talmud, Yoishvim enenim is vashchina. The souls are sitting over there, whatever is over there, and whatever it means sitting for a soul, I don't know, nobody knows, but whatever. They're sitting over there, enjoying the ray of the presence of God. Wow, very nice food, but it's not good for me. I live in this physical world, I need a piece of bread. Ukemoleosid Lowe, I'll give you another example. In the future to come, our sages say, in the world to come, there's no food, there's no drink. Forget it. Rather, the tzaddikim, everybody's going to be a tzaddik in the world to come, a righteous person, are sitting over there, whatever that means, and their crowns in their heads, whatever that means, and they enjoy a ray of the presence of God. Whatever that means, but it's, everything is spiritual. Oh, very nice. This is exactly the same thing as today for us.
We receive livelihood from eating and drinking physical things. The same thing is going to be in the future to come. We will enjoy, so to speak, and we will be actually receiving livelihood from the ray of the presence of God. Okay. Now let's jump. The line starts Hashpa lefi Yarkoi. Amnam. However, etzem Hashpa imelokus. Really, livelihood comes from godliness. Don't think it's your job, what you do. God is going to bless you in everything you do. Don't think that what you do is actually the source of the blessing. That's where the mistake comes. The Rebbe is saying the source is God. The intermediary is your job. Never get confused. Never think that the source is your job. And God, I don't know who is God. That's the problem people make. Esem hashpa melekus.
The essence of the godliness, or not the godliness, the bracha, the blessing, the energy from God is from God. But this energy goes through intermediaries of angels and mazalos, whatever that is, and through the work with physical things that a person does. And this energy gets invested in physical bread and the rest of things, water, whatever you drink. From that you get actually life. But all of this is actually the light, a godly light that gets invested in garments and through intermediaries, etc., as we explained. Now, when a person knows and you really get clearly these ideas, you really got it. Mimeila layaniach daitu machshavtu v'inyani ha'olam. V'le'yitrat bazeklal. Automatically, you will not put your understanding and your thoughts in worldly matters. And you're not going to be bothered by the world at all. Ki in kol daitu machshavta yibe ahava yizbarach v'tfilu toira. Rather, all your understanding, all your thoughts are going to be in God, in prayer, in learning. And all the things of the world are not going to confound you. I'm not going to bother you at all. And they're not going to be preventing you from serving God. Because when you really understand that the source is God, you don't really care about anything else. The rest of the world doesn't have any saying on anything. It's just God. Because since you really know, you understand that the main thing is godliness, that is giving you life. But all the intermediaries, and the same thing happens with all the physical things through which this energy of God gets invested, comes down into this world, like your business, and the bread you eat, etc. They're nothing by themselves. They have no power, no choice, no free will, no nothing. They are not the main thing and the source of your life. Rather, the main thing is the godly light that is giving you life. And all the things, physical things, are just intermediaries. And they're just like vessels in which gets invested the godly light. In order for this life that God is sending you comes in a physical way, according to your particular level. Vimken. If this is so, there's no possibility that the physical world should bother you at all. And they should prevent you from learning Torah and praying. Because you don't consider them a main thing, a fundamental thing at all. What's the only fundamental thing? Godliness. That's all. Therefore, you have to be attached, so to speak, only to God, only to His Torah, to His teachings, etc. Furthermore, another idea, says the Rebbe. Don't go looking for machinations and ways of you can do more business, more money. You have to do this and then that. You have to call this guy and the other guy. I don't have time to go to the prayer because I have to call this guy and the other guy. And you really have to make more business. I'm going to open a new branch and I'm going to do new. To the point, and this line is so important. People get confused on this line. To the point that prevents you from a good moment of Torah and Tfila. What is the Rebbe saying? The Rebbe is not saying, don't do business. No, wait a second. Go do business. If you know how to do it, and if you have the possibility, and etc., and God gave you the wisdom to do it, go and do it. And make a lot of money. And be happy with that lot of money. The problem is when the business prevents you from Torah Tefillah. That's a problem. That's already a problem. Because you're so busy in your business, you can't focus on Torah. I don't have time to learn Torah. I don't have time to go to the minyan, to the whatever, to the quorum of 10 people and pray over there. I don't have time for that. That's the problem. If you make your business and you do whatever you have to do and you open 5,000 branches around the whole world and you still learn Torah and go to pray, that's fine. Be happy. God bless you. And continue being rich. But the problem is when it prevents from Torah and Tefillah, that's the limit. That's when a person has to say, I think I went too far. It's fundamental difference. It's not saying don't work, don't do anything. No, that's not what he's saying. Im yasek beisek lfi erkoi. Now he says it clearly. You should work in your business according to your level. Ube oifen shalayim na oisem itfila. bismana, and in a way that it should not prevent you from praying in the proper time, and to learning Torah, it doesn't prevent you from learning Torah every day, etc. Ve'ivtach b'Hashem, and be have trust in God, that He gives you, be trustful, so to speak, in God. He gives you your life. He is going to give you also your sustenance and your life through this work that you're doing. As it's written, God is giving you strength to actually be powerful and have money and so on. ומכל שכן שיזהר מאוד בנפשי שלא יהיה שום נדנודיס בעסקוי. Now he goes to another idea in this business thing that he's talking about. Of course, says the Rebbe, you have to be very careful not to enter any prohibition in your business. Because, you know, if you just do this, that people say you can't, but you know what? We're going to make so much money, and then you give a lot of tzedakah. No. That's forbidden. Nobody knows. Because since you really know that this work and business, etc., is just an intermediary, ukli, and it's just a vessel, it's just a vessel in which gets invested the light and the life, the godly life, etc., that gives you life. It has to be a vessel, proper vessel, for the light of God. God is not going to dwell, so to speak, on a dirty, quote-unquote, vessel, dirty with prohibitions and with etc. And if there's any prohibition that the person is doing, nidnud is like even a smallest thing, a nuance, etc., there's a prohibition over there, then it's not a proper vessel for the godliness, godly light. It has to be clean of all kinds of nuances of prohibitions and sins and so on. And then it's going to get projected through this vessel, the livelihood and your life, divine life, to give you life, and so on.